It's Memorial Day weekend. As we think about the greatest sacrifice that was ever made, we think of the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. But we remember also those who gave their lives in the service of our country. As I was reading the events that led up to the celebration of Memorial Day, probably the most meaningful trips that I've ever been on was when we went with the kids that they do the crossings. I don't know if they have that around here, but my kids were involved when we were in Morris. And I think it was AAA that sent them on a trip down to Washington, D.C. When they were in fifth grade. And I was a chaperone and went with fear and trembling, thinking, these kids are crazy. But there's something about taking kids from the country into a city. They were all like, they did whatever I told them to do. It was wonderful. It's never happened like that before or since. But I appreciated it then. But we not only went to Washington, but we went to Gettysburg. And we went to Arlington. And two of the major cemeteries of the Civil War. And every year when we had the Memorial Day service in town, we went to the cemetery, which is very common. But noticed on that marker in the midst of the cemetery, those people who gave their lives in the Civil War. And I always wondered why it was the Civil War, and why even when I was young in junior high school and senior high school, why when we went to the cemetery, someone would be chosen to quote Lincoln's Gettysburg Address. And as I was doing the research this year, realizing the number of people who gave their lives in that war, and then spending time with my cousin who was a Civil War buff, realizing as I read this week in my old history book, I have a history book that dates back to the turn of last century, written before World War I and World War II. I think the last war in that book was the Spanish-American. I might be wrong. But at the turn of the century, there was only 76 million people in the United States. And of the 76 million, about 700,000 people died in the Civil War. More people died in the Civil War than died in the Revolutionary Wars through the Iraqi War, through the war in Afghanistan. Think about how your life was affected during the terrorist attack on 9/11. Over 3,000 people of almost 400 million people died in that tragic attack on America. I knew three people who were in the towers that day. Fortunately, they were all able to get away. But 3,000 people died. And you can imagine how that affected everyone in our country emotionally, financially. Imagine what it would have been like if instead of 3,000, it had been 50,000. Remember, those attacks took place early in the morning. I remember that day I was on my way up the Palisades. I think it was the Palisades Parkway to Pigskill along the Hudson River. Not realizing as I went north, the plane was coming south, the first plane to hit the towers. Most of us could probably remember where we were when we first saw those pictures on the television screens. We remember the people who were lost. those memorials that we've had and celebrated after 9/11, where they've read off the names of those 3,000-plus people who were killed in Pennsylvania, at the Pentagon, and at the World Trade Center. Can you imagine what it would be like and how long it would take to read off the names of those 700,000 people who died in the Civil War? Memorial Day didn't start as an organized event, but it was more of a people movement as people were drawn to celebrate or to memorialize those people who had given their lives during the Civil War. Starting down south with the ladies bringing flowers to the graves of both sides, Confederate and Union. And just a desire to remember, to recall what had happened during that war. It made me stop and think this week about the incredible loss of life that happened during that time. We can kind of flippantly think of those license plates we read once in a while from New Hampshire, live free or die. But so often we take our freedom for granted. It's more freedom to today than freedom from. Freedom to work or freedom from work. You know, we take the day off tomorrow, don't we? It's a free day. Have a picnic, a cookout. Forecast says we're going to have thunderstorms, so I don't know how that's going to work out. But throughout Scripture, God has told us to remember. And as I get older, it's getting harder. No amens? Bob was sitting with my dad this past week, and as he was sharing with us, he said, "Now, John," he said, "you realize that when you forget things, it's intellectual overload. You're trying to remember too many things." And I think Arthur Conan Doyle said the same thing, that your mind is like an addict. You know, when it fills up, you know, there's only so much room up there to clear stuff away, and that's called forgetting things. But we do forget some things, don't we? When I share about Psalm 23, I think of green pastures and still water. Those are the good times. Those are the times that we need to think about. The good memories. We all have good memories, don't we? Someone said the reason why we call the good old days is we forget all the bad things. I was reading recently about people saying, you know, where would you desire to have lived if you could pick any time in the history of the world? What would you pick? When would you pick, I should say? And, you know, people were saying, you know, in England in the Middle Ages, you know, with the knights and the drafty castles. Ugh. No indoor plumbing. Think about what we have today. It's incredible, isn't it? Where and when we live, this is ideal. We don't even have to put up with traffic jams. In Petersburg, I don't know what it is in Houston, Maryland, but you have traffic jams in Houston? Yeah. Oh, we have it so good here, don't we? I was telling Bob, he was complaining about traffic jams on Cape Cod last week. He said, "What's a traffic jam in Petersburg? 6 cars in a row." Or should I say, when a tractor-trailer truck stops here to think whether or not he can get through the Parkway Bridge here. But God wants us to remember. He doesn't want us to forget what was in our past. And so many times we can forget. Sometimes we forget the good things. And He doesn't want us to forget. Remember. Remember, He'll say, throughout Scripture. Remember, Moses said to the people, this day in which you went out from Egypt, from the house of slavery. For by a powerful hand the Lord brought you out from this place, and nothing leavened shall be eaten. In the Bible, leaven was a picture of sin. And the people of Israel, when they prepared for the Passover, would take a feather and go through their homes and dust off the countertops, clean out all the cupboards, make sure that all of the leaven was removed. And for them it was a symbol. For us, it has real meaning that we should forsake the sin because the Lord has freed us from the slavery of sin. And we are the servants to whomever we obey, Paul would say in Romans chapter 6, verse 16, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. Who do we choose? Who will we choose to obey? Remember it. Remember it every day. Not just once a year during the Day of Atonement or during the Passover. The Jews were to remember it every week. Deuteronomy 5:15, you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out of there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. And for us, it's more than the Sabbath because Christ rose and conquered sin and death on the Lord's day, on the day that we gather to worship Him. Remember the change in your life that the Exodus should make. Remember what you were in the past. Deuteronomy 16:12 says, you shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and you shall be careful to observe these statutes. Chapter 24, verse 22, you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. Therefore, I am commanding you to do this thing. You see, we need to be reminded, not just once, but many times. Remember where you were in the past, who you were in the past, but also remember who redeemed you. Verse 18 of chapter 24, but you shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt and that the Lord your God redeemed you from there. Therefore, I am commanding you to do this thing. Remember that God has forgiven your sin. The Exodus was about freedom from slavery, from sin. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 44, years after the Exodus, remember these things, O Jacob and Israel, for you are my servant. I have formed you. You are my servant, O Israel. You will not be forgotten by me. I have wiped out your transgressions like a thick cloud and your sins like a heavy mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. Remember that you'll be remembered by the Lord. He doesn't forget about you. It's amazing, isn't it, how our memories fade. And we need to be reminded. But the Lord doesn't need to be reminded about who we are. We might forget each other's names. Have you ever had that happen? Think of someone, I should know their name. What was it? And then we stop thinking about it for a little while, and all of a sudden, there it is. Our minds are so human, aren't they? Aren't you glad this morning that God will not forget who you are? He remembers your name. Scott, Seth, whoever, right? It's the same with Christians today. Who were we? Paul tells us who we were in Ephesians chapter 2. Therefore, remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, that's who we were, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands. One time we were outside of that group. That group that we are talking about here in the book of Deuteronomy, through the book of Isaiah and beyond. But Jesus tore down those walls. Once we were outside of the family of God, but now we've been embraced. We need to realize and remember who we are in Christ Jesus. So we remember who we were and where we're from and who it was who redeemed us and who brought us out from our sin. But then we also need to remember the Word. We need to make it a part of our lives. Each year I have to buy the books and the presents, I guess, for our seniors. And I've decided this year to get them something different. Because I think when they're about in third grade, well, when they're in Pioneer Kids, we buy them Bibles. If they don't have a Bible, we get them Bibles. And then parents, grandparents, probably through the years, give them Bibles. But this year, I'm going to get them one-year Bibles because it's been a blessing to my heart. Someone in Sunday school was talking about getting into the Word every day. And the importance of it. 10 minutes, right, Rick? Starting off in the morning. Takes me about 10 or 15 minutes to do one portion of Scripture from my one-year Bible. And I can't tell you what a blessing it is. If you know how I am, you know I need to have the things laid out in front of me. I don't like that flipping all over the place through the Bible. You know, even though I'm taking you to many different books today, I've got it laid out in front of me, all the verses in front of me, so I don't have to flip all over the place in the Bible. Do that in Sunday school. We do that in church. I probably shouldn't do that. I probably should have you flipping all over the place. But I don't. My one-year Bible gives me 2 or 3 pages from the Old Testament, about a page and a half from the New Testament, a portion of the book of Psalms, and a couple of little verses from the Proverbs. In a whole year, you go through the whole Bible in bite-sized pieces. So that it's not overwhelming. And if you want one, see me. I know where to get them. CBD, I think you can get them in King James, the NIV, New Revised, something or other, which I'm using. Didn't know that's what it was when I bought it, but that's what it was. And the New Living Translation. So most of the translations are covered, or versions. So get in the Word. Joshua 1:13, remember the Word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God gives you rest and will give you this land. Remember His Word. It's so important to remember it and make it a part of our lives. John 15, verse 20, Jesus said, remember the Word that I said to you. John 16, verse 4, but these things I have spoken to you, so that when the hour comes, you may remember that I told you of them. Remember the Word. The psalmist said his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in His law he meditates day and night. So important for us to be in the Word of God. So remember where you came from. Remember the Word of God. Remember the source of all things. Deuteronomy 8:18, but you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who is giving you power to make wealth, that He may confirm His covenant which He swore to your fathers as it is this day. James 1:17, those of us in the New Testament times, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. 1 Chronicles 16:12. Remember His wonderful deeds which He has done, His marvels and judgments from His mouth. Are you living in the midst of good times? Praise God. I'm going to end with a verse from Ecclesiastes. If you want to turn there, it's chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. It's a few books after the book of Psalms. This one is worth highlighting or underlining in your Bible. It starts again with the word, remember. Remember. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth. Before the evil days come and the years draw near when you will say, I have no delight in them. And if you have a study Bible, you can read down through the following verses and realize the difficulties of growing older. It talks about your eyes not being able to see, your ears not being able to hear. It says, the funny thing about your ears is you can't hear when people talk, but the birds will wake you up in the morning and you won't be able to get back to sleep. Your legs start to give out. Your arms lose their strength. It's a pretty dismal picture of growing older. In fact, when I read this one time, I thought, well, maybe it would be good to die younger and not older before these days come. But it says to us in verse 1, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come, and the years draw near when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. Those days come. Not today. Thank God, not today. But there'll come a day when you don't feel like eating. Heaven forbid, right? There'll come a day when you just, maybe you're too tired to get up out of bed in the morning. Not today, but the day might come. And this is very pessimistic, but very realistic book in the Old Testament. You know, Solomon kind of looking back over his life. And Memorial Day has not just limited itself to the Civil War, but for all of those who have died in every war. And it's even gone beyond that to all those who we've lost. And I think about my mom when I think about these evil days, when you will say, I have no delight in them. And I think of the last few years of her life. I'd call her every day and I'd say, well, how are you doing? And Mom was always the one. Dad didn't say too much on the telephone. But you always talk to Mom. Same in my family. Mona talks to the kids, you know, and I just kind of listen on the extension. I think that's the way it is with fathers. Most of us, anyway. But I'd say, Mom, how are you doing today? And she'd say, well, today's not really a good day. Or maybe she'd say, today is, you know, it's been a fairly good day. But I noticed over those last few years that she would say, well, you know, today's not a good day, or it's not been too good. And as the days went by, there were a lot more bad days than good days, difficult days. When she would say, I find no pleasure in them. But you know, she had remembered the Lord. She had forged a wonderful relationship with the Lord in the days of her youth, long before there were any bad days. She knew the Lord. And I'm thankful today that I can realize the same thing in my life, that I can remember the Lord in these good days. Yeah, have a few bad days. You know that I'm a wimp. You know, when I get a cold or something, I feel like I'm going to die. This is it, Lord. I'm coming home. You know, Fred Sanford thing, you know. It's like, this is the big one. You know, it's carrying air conditioners yesterday. You know, it's like, oh, man, what's that pain in my chest? It's a pulled muscle. I have to recall that before I go to the doctors and say, give me one of those EEGs, you know, and do one of, you know. But aren't we like that? We need to remember. First of all, we need to remember the sacrifices that other people have made for us, including the one who gave the greatest sacrifice of all, and that's Jesus. Remember that sacrifice first of all, and live our lives accordingly. But then remember those who have given their lives for our freedom. And it wasn't just to give us lives to have freedom to do whatever we want to do. And that's what seems to be what it is in our culture today. You know, oh, these men died so that I can go out and live whatever lifestyle I choose. That's not why they died. You know, let's live lives of honor because of the sacrifices they made. You know, first Jesus and then these who have died for our freedom. And then also those who have been good examples to us in the past, whether it be family members or those who have been members of the church who we've looked up to. And let's live honorable Christian lives to honor them as well. We've had wonderful examples in this church as well as in other churches. But the greatest sacrifice, remember the one who redeemed you by his blood. Bless us, Lord, as we seek to be good examples in our families, in our church, and in our community, remembering all that you have done and all of the sacrifices of other people, that we can enjoy these freedoms. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.